Tonight I'm teaching on divine connections. Okay, so let's go into prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come giving you praise, honor, and glory once more for your presence here. Your word says where two or three are gathered in your midst, your presence, where two or three are gathered together in your name, your presence is there in the midst. And Lord, we are more than two and we are more than three, so we know that your presence is here. And we welcome you. We welcome your presence. We welcome your input on this lesson. I ask, Lord, that you would help me to deliver it as I ought to. Help me, Lord, to say only what I'm supposed to say. Give your people, Lord, a heart to receive. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So I'll be teaching from 1 Kings chapter 17. And I'll be reading from verse 2 through 16. Now the people in the days days of Elijah, they had turned away from serving God. I'm just giving you a little background. And they had become steeped in idol worship in Baal. Ahab was king at the time, and he was a wicked king. He was not good at all. So because, you know, the people, they refused to repent and turn from their wicked ways, and as a result, Elijah the prophet pronounced a drought on them. So let's pick up the story from verse 2. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kerit ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there." So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kerit ravine east of Jordan and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Now, a raven is a scavenger bird, you know, or what we would call dirty bird. So I decided to do some research on the raven. I was curious as to why God would choose a raven. And I found out some pretty good stuff about the ravens, you know. They may look ugly, but they're intelligent. They're very smart birds. They can adapt to any climate, any situation. They have like a mate for life. Then, you know, they raise their babies, and then they, when they get to a certain age, their babies will go off in a gang, what we would call a gang, and they would stay there until they find a mate, and then the whole process would start all over again. Isn't that amazing? Ravens are also, they can copy people. They can imitate the way people speak. You know, I never knew all that. So this wasn't just some bird. This was a special bird. You know, whenever God does something, he always does it on purpose. You know, he just doesn't just do things just to do it. So God knew what he was doing when he chose a bird, this particular bird. And not only that, I found out that they can live up to 40 years. That's a long time for a bird to live. It is important to notice that God doesn't always work things out in a manner and fashion we think he should. Don't we have our way that we think God should do things? I know I do. You know, sometimes when my hair doesn't want to act right, especially on a Sunday morning, my hair goes in rebellion on a Sunday morning. And, you know, I remember saying to the Lord one time, "Lord, you should make our head so we can take off this part of our head, you know, and fix it and then screw it back on." You know, but, you know, God knows what he's doing, isn't it? He doesn't make mistakes. when this bird, a scavenger bird, was directed to bring Elijah bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, you know, he could have refused to eat that meat, don't you think? I mean, this is a dirty bird. Who wants to eat from the beak of a dirty bird? You know? I know I probably would have had some issues with that. But, you know, when you are in a dire situation, sometimes you can't be too picky. So the bird brought him food. And that, you know, that saved him. Imagine bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. Elisha didn't have to work. He didn't have to stress. He didn't have to worry about where his next meal was coming from. God already told him, I have instructed a bird to feed you. We can learn a lesson from Elijah, don't we? Moving on to verse 7. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Now remember, Elijah called a drought, so there's no rain. You know, I can't imagine living in some place where there's no rain. No rain. It's a bad situation. Nothing's growing. Everything is hot and scorched. And so, the word of the Lord came again to Jeremiah, and this time God said, go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. Now the brook had dried up, okay? And then God gave him another instruction. So as I read this, you know, I had to wonder, why did God wait till the brook dried up? You know, to send him, you know, someplace else. Have you ever wondered sometimes why does God wait till a certain time to do a certain thing? You know, we like, as human beings, a lot of times we like to have all our I's crossed, don't we? And our I's dotted and our T's crossed. You know, we want to see everything laid out in front of us before we take that, you know, that next step. But God sometimes will allow things to dry up and bring us to the end of ourselves so that we have no choice but to trust him, no choice but to depend on him and him alone. I know I personally, I always like to have a backup just in case something goes wrong. You know, so I was preparing my lesson. I had run into a little bit of issue last week. And so this week, I made sure that I had my lesson on both phones. I had one in my pocketbook. And I mean, you know, and I had everything prepared. I said, Lord, I'm not going through, you know, what I went through last week. I'm going to be more than prepared. But, you know, even the best laid plans can go awry sometimes, can't it? Yeah. You know, God, even back then, God wanted his people to walk by faith and not by sight. As Christians, we are going to find out, you know, if we're going to be victorious, we are going to have to learn how to walk by faith. God wanted faith in operation. If we're going to see miracles, we're going to learn how to have total and complete dependence on God. Now, it's not always easy, is it? But you know, I've discovered that it's in those difficult times, you know, that God reveals himself to us. It's in those difficult times that he shapes us. It's in those difficult times that we grow. You know, as a teenager, I was suddenly thrust from, you know, from being a young, carefree adult into the world of adulthood in a matter of hours. I went to bed, you know, just a carefree teenager. About maybe 6-7 hours later, I was a full-grown adult. You know, my mom had that stroke, and I was in charge of the house. I was in charge of provision. I had to, you know, handle my finances well because I didn't have any other family that I could truly depend on. I had to learn how to trust God when the money ran out. I had to learn how to trust God. And you know, they weren't always fun times. It was hard, you know? And but when I look back, I can see where those are the times that, you know, that made me grow. Those are the times that it drew me closer to God. I didn't have no choice. You know, we didn't have any payday loans or any of that stuff. No credit cards. And so when there was no food in the house, you know, everybody's looking to me. When it was time to pay the taxes, you know, I'm getting the bill. You know, when it's time to pay the power bill, I had to have the money there to pay it. You know, that's a lot of pressure for a 19-year-old. But God showed himself strong and mighty in those days. Those days, I'm telling you, even though I would not want to relive it, I wouldn't exchange the experience for nothing. Because those are the times, those difficult times are the times that made me, helped to shape me into the person I am today. Because God became real. You know, I had to experience him for myself. I couldn't no longer live off my mom's prayers, off of her coattails. You know, those of us who have kids, you know, we pray for our kids and all that. But, you know, there's going to come a time when those kids are going to have to stand on their own two feet and trust God for themselves. So, you know, that's one of the reasons that I believe that God doesn't always lay out the whole plan in front of us. So Elisha, even though he was a prophet, he had to have faith himself. So God sends him to this widow. Verse 10, so he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. Now here's something else to think about. How is it that this woman was gathering sticks at the exact time and place where Elijah entered the town gate? I mean, she could have been any place else, but she was there at the exact time that Elijah showed up. She may have thought she was just there, but she was unconsciously laying. You know, we have that confession, I'm consciously and unconsciously led by the Spirit of God, led in right paths, not ahead and not behind, but right on time. A lot of times, you know, we do things and we think we're the ones doing it, but we don't know that God is leading us. You know, a while back, we were collecting something. We were doing something for our first lady, and it was a Friday, I think, and I left prayer and wanted to go to the credit union right up the street here, and then on to Walmart. But for some reason, I decided, I'm going all the way up Victory Drive and off of Lumpkin Road. I'm going to that branch. Now, does that make sense? Here's a credit union right here. Why would I want to go all the way up Victory Drive off of Lumpkin Road? Anyway, that's what I did. So when I left, I headed across the street to Walmart. And when I stepped out the car, I saw a church member. I didn't see her actually. She saw me and she was busy waving, hi, hi, you know. And she said, I got your text. You know, we had sent out some texts. I'm telling the secrets. She said, but we were out of town and I just got back and just, you know, just let me run back in here to the ATM machine and I'll get you some money. And so she did. And boy, did she give some money. It was a substantial amount. But see, that was God ordering my steps. That wasn't just me deciding, oh, I just want to drive up Victory Drive and go, you know. No, that was God. God knew that where she was, and he was ordering my steps. You know, as soon as I got out my car and was heading into Walmart, there she was coming out of Walmart, and she saw me. I would have totally missed her if she hadn't called out to me. That was a divine connection, you know, a divine hookup. So God was getting ready to hook this widow up with the prophet and the prophet with her. God sets us up sometimes. So he called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" Elisha recognized her. He recognized who she was. She didn't know who he was, but he recognized her. Sometimes we have to be able to recognize a God-made opportunity. How many times have we missed it because we didn't recognize it? Verse 11, as she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." The future did not look very good for her. It looked very bleak. She didn't see how they could get past, you know, that one day, that one meal. Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and for your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land." So she went away and did as Elijah told her. There was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family, for the jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord. God is a God of his word.
Yes.
We can trust him. You know, when he tells us something, we can take it to the bank.
Yes.
He's not like, you know, like us. We say something and then we don't deliver. Or something comes up and keeps us from keeping our promise. God, in I think it's in Jeremiah 1 verse 12, he says he watches over his word to perform. First, God used a dirty bird. I call him the dirty bird. A few years ago, my two older ones were teaching Matt. Matt was probably about, 2, 3 years old. And the Falcons was in the, they were in some kind of a playoff thing for the Super Bowl, you know. And everybody had this dance, the dirty bird. And they were showing him how to do the dirty bird. And so, you know, the Falcon, I suppose they're scavengers, I don't know. But, you know, the Raven is definitely a dirty bird. And God used that bird to keep his word. God can use anything.
That's right.
Can use anyone. Remember Balaam? He used a donkey to speak to Balaam. I hope and pray that God does not have to use a donkey to speak to any of us. This woman was poor. She didn't have a husband. It was just her and her son. And she could barely feed herself, let alone another mouth. Who knows? Elijah probably had a humongous appetite. You know, men have huge appetite. Sorry, Pastor. Seems like I'm always picking on men. And this woman, this widow, she was not a likely candidate that God, you know, in our, by our standards, that God would use to help this prophet. She's a widow. She's poor. In Luke chapter 25, verse 25 and 26, this is Jesus speaking here. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them but to a widow in Zarephath in the regions of Sidon. God chose this particular woman. She needed a miracle. God knew that she would be the one to listen to the prophet. Sometimes we don't always listen, do we? But God knows. He knows ahead of time what we're going to do. And he had the whole thing planned out. She only had a little bit of oil and a little bit of flour inside of her cupboard. You know, most of us, even in difficult times, we have more than that, don't we? We have more than a little bit of oil and a little bit of flour, don't we? But that's all she had. I mean, she was poor. She was dirt poor. This is what we would call dirt poor. And so she couldn't see the light at the end of the tunnel. She just thought, this is it. You know, once I make this little cake, and you know, and I drink this little bit of water, that's it. We're gonna die. But God had other plans for her. You know, when the enemy is painting a dire picture for us, when we're in a difficult situation and the enemy is painting a dire picture and he's trying to tell us, this is it, it's over, kaput, done. You know, you're never going to get out of this situation. We can believe God. We can trust him because God is faithful. He's a faithful God and he does what he says he's going to do. And like I said before, nothing, absolutely nothing, takes God by surprise. He knows how and when we should undertake a task. He knows who's going to help us. When we're facing a difficult situation or going through a phase where we don't know which direction to go or who to enlist, all we have to do is trust God. Trust God and put our faith in him. You know, if we could just learn how to do that, our lives would be so much easier. But, you know, some of us have hard heads. And, you know, we make mistakes. But God is a good God, isn't he? He doesn't give up on us. And, you know, he like I said, he doesn't work the way we think he should work things out, at least in my own personal experience. When I'm thinking God is going to do this thing this way, he comes another way and absolutely blows my mind, you know, because he doesn't want us to get used to a formula. You know, we like these formulas. Several years ago, I had fallen behind in my kids' tuition. They were attending private school. And I had prayed and asked God for this tuition money, and I told him exactly what I wanted. And so, out of the blue, I got a check, I think for $3 and something cents. Now, that's not a lot of money when you need hundreds of dollars. But I remember just throwing the check in the drawer. I didn't think anything of it. So a few days later, my husband got some money from somewhere. I can't remember. No, he got a check. Another check came. And, you know, when I added the check, he didn't know I was adding up the money. And I added up the check plus the $3 and change. It was exactly what I needed for my kids' tuition. So, you know, this morning he's telling me, you know, oh, take this check to the bank, you know, and deposit it. And I said to him, well, I was going to ask you for the whole thing. I want it. And he said, okay, just give it to me. He didn't know that we were behind in the kids' tuition. You know, sometimes I didn't tell him this stuff because I didn't want to stress him out. And I tell you, I went into that drawer where I just carelessly threw that $3 check. I fished it out and I signed it, rushed to the bank, got my kids' tuition. You see how God worked?
Yes.
First he brought the $3 check, this $3 insignificant check,
yep.
But then the real thing was coming behind.
Amen.
You know, I didn't think he would work it out that way. You know, I don't know what I was thinking, but you know what? We don't care how God does it.
Right.
just as long as he does it. So he used this woman, this poor woman, who only had a little bit of oil and a little bit of flour, you know, for her and her son. Can you imagine if it, something like that was to happen today and the media was to get hold of it, what they would say? I can just see the headline. Preacher eats widow and son out of house and home. And then you can flip to another channel and you'll be hearing heartless preacher devours poor widow's last meal. Isn't it? But in 1 Corinthians 1:27, it says that God chooses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God didn't send Elisha to anyone in the king's household. He could have sent him, you know, to the king's household. I'm sure the king had a stash somewhere, a stash of flour and, you know, a couple barrels or drums of water, you know. But he didn't send him there. He sent him to this widow, a poor widow at that. And she had enough faith in the word of the prophet, and she obeyed. Right? And she and her son were fed throughout the whole famine. When everyone else was desperately scrounging for food, her needs were met. God gave her a divine connection to a man who had an anointing. She could have said no. Don't you think so? If you only had a little bit for you and your son, and some man came and told you, you know, make me something first. Some of us would have said, have you lost your mind? But she didn't. She had faith. You know, we're going to have faith, no matter how foolish the thing sounds, you know, when God tells us to do something. She recognized the man of God. You know, sometimes we'll get an impression to do something or to go somewhere. I remember one time after prayer, I was driving down to Wade, and I had this impression to go to Chick-fil-A. And I remember saying, but I'm not hungry. I don't need nothing from Chick-fil-A. So I didn't go. And you know, up to this day, I've wondered, had I gone to Chick-fil-A, what would have happened? Who would I have met? You know, and I've repented and asked God to give me another opportunity. But you know, some opportunities sometimes is for that particular time. And when you miss it, you miss it. So I probably missed it. You know, we have to obey. Amen. She obeyed. And she got a supernatural provision. That's what it was. Supernatural provision was made for her. The God that we serve is a God of provision, and he will order the steps of his children. He orders all of our steps. Psalms 37:23, this is in the NIV version. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. And ever since I discovered the Passion, you know, I like to check it out, and it's really good. It says, the steps of the law of the God pursuing ones follow firmly in the footsteps of the Lord, and God delights in every step they take to follow him. The New Living Translation says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Don't you want God to delight in every detail of your life? Nothing about us is too insignificant. You know, you've heard people say, oh, I don't want to bother God with that. That's a small thing. No, he wants us to bring the little things to him too. Okay, not just the big things, what we think are the big things. You know, the little things can sink a ship. A small hole will sink a big ship. So it's those little things that we have to watch, or they'll sink us. But when we take it to God, he can handle it. Psalms 139, verse 1 and 5 says, this is the Passion Translation. Lord, you know everything there is to know about me, doesn't he? You perceive every moment of my heart and soul, and you understand my every thought even before it enters my mind. You are so intimately aware of me, Lord. You read my heart like an open book, and you know all the words I'm about to speak before I even start a sentence. You know every step I will take before my journey even begins. You've gone into my future to prepare the way, and in kindness you follow behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. Tonight, I'm encouraging you, whatever situation you're facing, no matter how difficult, no matter how insurmountable it may seem, you know, we have to make a choice. You know, God doesn't force things on us. It's choices, it's the kind of choices that we make that's going to make us or break us. And when we make a choice, you know, like this woman widow did, to believe the word of God and act on it, we have to act on it. You know, we have to act on the word. She acted on what the prophet told her, and she had a supernatural provision. For the entire 3.5 years, her and her household was fed. They weren't starving. Amen. Who knows? She probably had more than 2 meals because it never ran out. Imagine that. Every time you empty the jar, it's filled up. Wouldn't you like that with our bank account? God made a divine connection with that woman through the prophet. He will order our steps and cause us to be in the right place at the right time to connect us to the right people who can help us. Amen. I trust it's a blessing.